Previously on Unranked.
We then made the mistake of starting season 6 of Love is Blind. Yeah. And let me tell you about some fucking whiplash.
Over my TikTok right now. All I get is Love is Blind.
Where do they find these fuckers? It's unbelievable. These people are unbelievable. It's almost as if you shouldn't propose to someone without seeing them and only speaking to them for a couple days. US Love is Blind, I said last season was toxic. This season's shaping up to be maybe even
worse. Each season they keep finding worse people somehow. Hello and welcome to the 418th episode of the Unranked podcast. I am Christian Humes, and we have Alex Tuna Marinello here. And Alex, we're on a countdown because next week is the last episode of season 7.
What?
Yes, season 8, year 8.
Wait, whoa.
Sorry, series.
I thought we were doing series. Seasons by Pokemon.
Series, we are. Seasons are Pokemon. Series are our years. Okay. Series are years, seasons. We're on season 4, series 8. Yes. So to be series 2 of season 4, series 8 of the show.
Does anyone else do it that way?
No, we're stupid.
We're trailblazers.
Yeah.
Okay.
What I just realized in this moment is, though, because that should be Tom's first episode back. We're going to have to push him to come on. He's going to be like, no, I just got back like from my trip like 2 days ago. I'm going to be like, you got to come on. But also because, weirdly, that is the 420th episode of the Unranked podcast. I just realized. Which is, that's good math. I like that. I'm a big fan.
Yeah, that's good.
Big fan. Alex, we're definitely going to be talking about Little Love is Blind today.
Sure.
I was excited to talk to you about it earlier while we were playing Walkabout Mini Golf, but we didn't. Right. We didn't. Whenever we're playing games ahead of the podcast, it's always like, all right, don't want to talk about it. So
It is weird to talk. There are a lot of things that I talk about. Traders we could talk about.
Yep.
Up to date on Curb.
Yep.
What else? Survivor.
Yeah. No, we didn't really talk last week, so there's a lot to catch up on this week.
Sure. So you want to kick us?
Yeah, want to get right into today's Pokemon?
Sure.
All right. Well, it's 418th episode, which means
you're sharing the you're giving us a little behind the scenes there.
It's weirdly that's the second time recently I've done that. And you said I think you said the exact same.
What?
Like verbatim. I think it was word for word. You're giving us a little behind the scenes there.
Probably. I got nothing original. I've been saying the same thing for 418 episodes.
All right. Pokemon 418.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a great Pokemon. I think we got a good one today.
It is. It's a good one.
Buizel. I'm just going to give a little description. We're looking at an orange weasel. He's got sort of like a cream. I realize sometimes we have jumped right into the etymology. I've got to describe the look of it. So it's got base of the body is orange. It's got sort of a cream underbelly up on his face and cream tip tails, kind of like a beagle's tails, like white tip tail. And he's got blue fins along the his both of his arms, the backside of both of the arms,
and like he has an inner tube on his neck.
Yeah, like a little dingy style inner tube, like you're going to the water park.
Well, your water park, yeah, where you're going to the local lake.
Cool Pokemon,
a very cool Pokemon. I like this one.
Looks both like cute, cool, and like he could fight because of his like size and shape.
His name is Buizel. I'm not really a fan of his shiny version. His shiny version just looks,
it's just a bad color. It's a golden color. Buizel. Golden Buizel. All right.
It's not that good. That golden.
Could be better.
Yeah.
Could be better.
You know, for as cool of a Pokemon as I think this is, the trivia section is like sparse. But this is interesting. I've never seen it done this way before. Name origin, Buizel, and Buizel, because apparently it's spelled Buizel and Buoysel, may be combinations of buoy and weasel.
Ooh. Oh, well,
It
that
is a
makes
little bit.
sense. Yeah, the Buizel is the Japanese name. Okay.
It doesn't say that though. Usually it tells me that it is. But it
Oh,
doesn't
that's
say
fair.
this is down there in other languages, Japanese buizel.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Interesting. I one of the best parts about seeing it in the other languages, it does help give you know, it can provide more power to the mei, right? Because then
Sure.
you see it's like, well, it may be that in several languages, then it almost must be. But it still may
Right.
be. If it does if it certainly doesn't must be, then it certainly may be. I again, big fan. A water type, straight water type. It does have an evolution, which we will talk about next week. And I think also the evolution, pretty cool. Stats are all right because it's a two stage, so it is going to get stronger, but it's useful kind of at the point that you get it in the game. This is a Pokemon you'll just catch. It's nothing like special that you have to do to get it. It's cool in the anime. It's had plenty of appearances. I mean, I think all around, this is a strong contender for our list, and I think it's going into the top half of the Shinx wall, no question.
Yeah, no, I agree. I like that the Buizel seems to be based on a weasel, it says, as well as a river otter. Its design also appears to incorporate various flotation devices such as swim rings and inflatable armbands, and its two tails can rotate like a screw. Similarly, how boats use propellers to move by pushing water. Like, yep.
It's a cool Pokemon.
Yeah,
I
I like
like
it.
this the picture of the propeller. You can see it like flying using its tail. It's pretty sick.
Just looking at the list here.
You know what? The tails kind of like Tails from Sonic,
A
the
little
twin
bit.
tails. Yeah. Yeah.
I would be cool with putting it. I don't know if it breaks the top 10.
Oh,
You think it
okay.
breaks the top
Interesting.
10? Oh, you thought it broke the top 10.
Listen.
Ooh.
I'm going to say something wild.
Oh boy.
Okay.
Sure.
I'm looking somewhere around.
Number five is that because I see a
I'm looking
little.
r somewhere around the Roserade Grottle
Oh,
area.
are you
I don't.
kidding me? You think
So
it's
look,
all the way up
I
there?
don't think it's better than Roserade,
Yeah.
but I think it might be better than
Grottle.
Grottle.
Let me just Google Grottle. Let me give Grottle a quick googs. Oh my God, Grottle. Let me see. No, this thing's got a
Hey,
forest on its
Grotto is
back.
pretty sweet.
This thing's got a forest on its back.
Okay,
I
okay,
don't know.
okay.
Maybe better than Prinplup. Yeah, I would be okay with it. Well, no,
So this is a tough one. This is a tough one. This is a good Pokemon, but all the ones at the top are good Pokemon.
Let me see. Maybe Turtwig. Yeah, I would be okay with putting it above Turt. Put it in the nine spot. I'd be
Let me
okay
just take
with
a
putting
look
it
at
in the
Prin.
nine spot. I'd be okay with putting it in the nine spot
Okay,
below Prinplup, above
let me
Turtwig.
just take another.
You
Okay.
want to take another gander?
I think that's good. I think that's good. I think,
All right.
it's always tough with recency bias, but I
Sure.
think ultimately, especially like if I consider in game,
Yeah.
I'm probably gonna pick Piplup, which means I'm gonna have Prinplup, which means I'm might not use a Buizel. So for
True,
that reason,
true.
I really should put it below
Right.
Prinplup. But I
Right.
there is there if you disagree and you're a listener,
No? Oh, and listener.
there is an argument to be made for above, I think. But I think you're right. I think that's the
And
right call.
if Tom disagrees, too bad. You should have gone Iceland.
Yeah, you should, yeah.
So,
Man seems to be having the time of his life.
man
So
seems to be doing okay. You know, he
yeah.
texted me about, did he text you about Survivor? He texted me about Survivor today, and I was like, you
No.
have time to watch Survivor?
No, he did it.
What?
He didn't.
He
No.
was like, yeah, I got a VPN. I was like, oh, well, excuse me.
Wow, text it to the group. Jeez.
Yeah, I was thinking about, maybe he thought maybe he wasn't 100% sure if he saw it. I don't know.
I will. I'll remember. Christian will remember that. All right. So I'm gonna put Weasel right there. Number nine. We just had one break the top 10.
Number nine. That's kind of crazy to break the top 10 these days.
Yeah, for sure.
Pretty crazy.
It's wild that, you know, we started this not too long ago, it feels like, but we're already 32 into it.
Crazy. Crazy.
Isn't that kind of surprising?
I mean, it's over half a year we've been doing it, but it seems like we just started doing it.
That's what weird. I was thinking. Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
So I don't know how this happened. Oh, no, you want to know what? I'm pretty sure we didn't do it right at the beginning. So we ranked a whole bunch. So that's why it feels...
Probably around 10. So we're probably coming up to actually doing it for about half of the year. You're right. I think we started it in like September or so.
Yeah.
I think that's correct. And you know, we do have to start at some point soon. We got to remember the idea was when we hit a post show, if we don't have something to follow up on, we should just start going through and ranking the former generations. We just slowly start building that list up so that eventually we have the master list.
The master list, right?
Yeah, the master list of Pokemon.
The master list, exactly.
The definitive ranking by the Unranked Podcast.
Right, exactly.
All right, well, that's going to do it for Buizel. We will be back next week with its evolution. But until then, Alex.
Stay ranked. See you later. Bye.
Alex, it's time. It's time for everyone's favorite question. What have you been up to?
Right. What have you been up to? Right.
What's going on?
Well, no, you know what? I have been playing a couple things. So we'll start with, what shall we start with? We will start with the card game that we have been playing that you told me to play that I bought that I've been addicted to now called Balatro.
Yeah.
Right? Balatro is how you say this, I think. Yeah. And it's a... what would you call this? A rogue?
I would like to see how you're going to describe this game.
Yeah. So a...
I'll be honest. Like, it's not simple.
It's like Hades, where you're building a run each like time Hades. You go.
You were right with roguelike. It's run-based.
But it has nothing to do with anything about Hades except that one feature. So you're building a deck and you're trying like to play poker hands again and scoring points. And, you know, like an ace scores 11, a king scores 10, and all the number cards score what they the face value of their number. And then you can equip jokers, which have different abilities like multiplying your score, adding to your score. We're doing different things to make your total higher, and you're trying to, get to a certain point value each round, and it increases every time. And then there's sometimes there's buffs or debuffs added, saying like, oh, you can't play hearts this round, or oh, you can't play diamonds, you can't play three of a kind, you can't play a pair.
Or so, the worst, which is like all of your cards after the first hand are going to be like face down,
so you can't do shit. Or better have a great joker combo because you're only going to be allowed to play one hand, and your
worst
hand
one
has
I've
to
done
score high.
Well, that one hand is tough, but I haven't seen that on anything that's been like 70,000 or above.
No, it's only like 22.
I have gotten on like the high end ones. Where it's like any card you've played in the last two rounds is debuffed, which sometimes is like half my deck.
Half the deck. Yep. We have to take a break. Avery is crying and I have to go get her water.
Okay, you go.
So, and she might be throwing up. So hold on, I'll be back.
Yeah, I'll hang here.
Okay. Hello.
Hello.
We should have like technical difficulties music. Or like... That's like do 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 do.
We've got the do 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 do. Yeah, I can. I'll stick that in there.
With like a graphic or something that says like Tuda fucked up or something. I don't know.
Yeah. No, that's
or like
good.
Tom fucked up one time. Whatever happens. Anyway.
Everything good?
So Balatro. So yeah. Well, she's like swallowing. Like she's gonna throw up. Like you know when you swallow. Like when you're like.
No, that's like what my cat does. He starts going.
Yeah. So she was asking for water, and so she's just sleeping. Oh, not sleeping, but she's laying in our bed right now. I just hope she doesn't throw up in our bed. That's not great.
Yeah, that's nasty.
So Balatro, so great game, addicting game, really yes. addicting game, actually.
Yes.
Kind of addicting the same way that Hades was addicting for me. That like I want to improve my runs, I want to improve my score. I want to equip different jokers for different boons, right? So, I mean, if I've described it incorrect, I mean, it's only $15 as well. So it is fan-fucking-tastic, and I highly recommend. Chris, take it away with other things about this game.
All right. So I'll just, about. In case anyone still has any other questions about how the game actually works, it looks like video poker. Like if you've ever gone to a casino and play video poker, it looks like a video poker game. It has like this really cool little CRT effect that runs over it, which you can turn off, but I like it. I think it's a lot of fun.
You can turn it off. I really like it. I think it's great. Yeah.
Can turn it off. I like it a lot though. So I turned it off for a little bit because I was like, oh, what does it look like? And it is really clean. But I turned it back on because I thought it was charming. And the sound effects are nice too. It's on Switch, it's on Steam Deck, it's on like consoles and stuff. But the one thing this game needs is an iPad version. I've already beat the first five decks now.
Totally.
But they need an iPad version because
yes,
at a certain point I might stop playing this, and I'm less likely to pick up and play it on my Switch than if it was on my phone. This is a game that I definitely, if I had on my phone wherever I was and I needed time to kill, like that is something I would open forever. Like it's so much better than like a solitaire like phone game.
When did I get my hernia surgery? Oh my god, almost like 8 years ago now. When Yu-Gi-Oh! Duel Decks came out and it was on the iPad, I loved it. It was awesome. It was such like a like intuitively awesome touch screen, like touch enabled game, and this game is exactly the same way. Like just I can just quickly go boom boom boom, click my cards, send them off, like do what I gotta do. This game's great though. This game's really
addicting.
This game's really addicting.
Now, when you're playing the game, you essentially to win a run, you have to get through 8 rounds. A round consists of 3 challenges, and you can each one has a blind, which is like you have to get. You know, it'll start around the first round is 300 points you have to get, then 450, then 600. And then it goes up each time. And the last one is always around 100,000, although it can be the highest. And if you beat that, you do win. You beat the deck, you beat the run, and you can continue to play on endless mode if you want. But you don't really necessarily get anything beyond that. Although there are challenges, which Alex and I have now seen in the stats. You can get scores so high that it actually has to use an exponent, like it has to use an E exponent, like you're on a like you're on a calculator, and then it doesn't have enough space to fit. Yeah,
it's not enough room.
I have not gotten that far. In fact, we have both now hit the same wall of round 11. Round 11,
I hit the wall,
7 million.
Right, 7 million points. My deck was cruising.
Yes,
and then all of a sudden I see the deck. I think I got like 1 point. I got like 4 million or something.
Yeah.
The previous round, and then the round comes up and it's like the first round in that in that particular whatever was 7 million. I'm like, oh my deck,
we're done. Done's up.
It's done. Yeah. I already know the run is over. It's over. I can't do it.
There's a little risk reward with each challenge, like each round, there's 3 challenges you have to play through, or you can skip it. And if you skip that blind and go to the next one, the downside is you don't get to visit the store. The store is where you either get to buy tarot cards that give you like unlocks to upgrade your cards or possibly receive new cards, celestial cards, which upgrade your hands, which is how a 2-pair suddenly can be worth way more points because cards are basically worth coins and multipliers. And the upgrades allow you to change both of those. And then there's the spectral packs and the jokers. Yep. And the spectral packs are like the late game. The spectral packs are how you get to those, insane.
Yeah.
Insane
spectral
high.
Packs don't necessarily help me in the beginning. If I open them too soon, they're almost never good
you,
from the current run I'm on.
Unless, though, if you get one early, that gets you a 1.5. Like, if you
well,
get
it's a 1.5 multiplier, yeah, sure. But if you
then
don't
you gotta
get
hold
that
on
one,
to
then
it.
Forget
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Now, there was a funny thing that happened. I was hitting a wall early on for a while. I could not get past the 7th round. I couldn't get up to the 8th round.
Right.
And I could not figure out how the hell you were supposed to do it. I couldn't get past 70,000 points. And that was when I learned the order of your jokers is really important. Because when your jokers pop based on different conditions, let's say like this joker, if I play the same hand, type of hand twice, the second time I play it, I will get times three multiplier, not plus three multiplier, but times three, where it multiplies all my multipliers times three. If that is at the front of my list, then it's going to multiply shit. But if it's the last card of my list, we're talking about astronomically more points.
Right, a higher number is being multiplied and you're doing very well.
That was the game changer. When I told you that, I found that out. That was like, I went from playing the game for a week, hadn't won a deck.
I will tell anyone who is looking to get in this game that there is a quick tutorial, but a lot of it is not necessarily explained. So
there's just a few too many things that I think the game has in it that the tutorial, Alex, like it was a little obtuse because there's a few too many terms.
Yeah, and also it's like, this takes effect with a card in your hand versus a card that you play that's in your hand.
Yeah.
Like, are you talking about the hand that I play or are you talking about the hand that I have that I'm keeping while I'm playing another hand?
Yes.
So it's a little confusing in that way, but
I've had to Google some cards
I totally had to Google some cards and be like, I don't understand this. Because there's some cards I'm like, I don't even understand how this would benefit me at all. So I need to Google what the hell they're talking about. And it's like, oh, got it. Okay. There's jokers to unlock. There's things to unlock. There's things to do. There's different challenges. Some, you know, like Chris said, there's different decks you can start with. So you start with a 52-card deck. But if it's the red deck, you get one more hand you can play. If it's the blue deck, you get another discard or the other way around. The yellow deck, you get more cash to spend at the shop right away. You know, different things. So,
which, by the way, there's no microtransactions. Like the cash that you're spending is only in that run. There's no money that can be spent in game. Which is funny because the game recently got banned in some places. Like it got pulled. Yeah, it got pulled for like gambling. And I'm like, the assumption online is that it's gonna have to be like they're gonna have to reevaluate that, and it's a mistake because like it's not promoting. Like you can't spend real money in the game. You know, it's
right.
So it that seems a little ridiculous to me. It's great. It's really good.
Great game.
It's a really, really good game. Yeah, people should. One of my favorite things is early on, I was like, I am so good at this game. I'm thinking, right? So I'm playing like you start developing strategies, right? Like early on, I'm like, all right, straights. I'm playing all about straights.
Yeah,
and I'm building decks and I'm going for straights. And then it was flushes. Now it's flushes.
I did flushes too. Yeah, flushes. I was like, oh, flushes get you so many points. It's crazy.
But
why would you get anything else?
I got a Joker card that's like hearts and diamonds count as the same and spades and clubs count as the same. And so I sent you that GIF from it's honestly one of my favorite jokes from Ocean's 11. I've loved this joke forever. It's in the like one of the opening scenes where Topher Grace is being taught how to play poker by Brad Pitt, and he puts down the cards and he goes all reds, which
all
like I was literally
reds.
Playing that hand, and every time I played that hand I was saying to myself, I was like, I'm tapping
all
on my
reds, baby.
I was going all reds.
All reds. Yeah, no, it's great. It's a great game. It's a great game. It's a fun game.
Are you playing in tablet mode?
No.
Oh dude, it's great. You gotta do it. I've never
you
done
it
do you it. Almost forget the Switch can do this, but I have controllers off the Switch. No controllers on the Switch. I've got the, especially on the OLED, because it has that big kickstand. I've got the kickstand open, so I've got it, you know, like hooked down like two fingers, kind of like a.
And
I'm just playing tablet mode. I'm just tapping away. Yep. It's the best. It looked, Therese came up. She was like, look at you with your little tablet. Look at
that. Oh my God. Yeah, man. All right, fine. I'll try tablet mode. You're really pushing the tablet
mode. Are you pushing the buttons on the controller to play this game?
Yeah.
Oh, you're doing it wrong.
Oh, come on.
You're doing it wrong.
Yeah, you can't tell me how to play a game. I'll play a game. I want to play a game.
I know, but then you're gonna go do it, and then you're gonna be like, wow, this is really nice.
But this is why I think an iPad would even be better.
It would. The iPad would be great, yeah. especially with that big screen. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. iPad would be great. Yeah. Well, cool. I mean, Alex, I think
Christian.
So next week we're gonna do our Zelda,
right?
Head to head. I mm-hmm. think we should do it an informal, head to head. You and I. We'll start it now as well.
Okay.
Best hand wins. Whoever has the biggest hand.
Biggest hand.
Biggest hand.
One hand.
One hand.
Okay. All right. All right.
Which I think is a more interesting competition than overall like highest score at the end of a round. Just whoever could come up with the baseline. I'll give you the baseline. I think I sent it to you previously, but my highest hand so far in this game is 850,000. Yeah, that is my current highest hand.
Mine was only like 400 something.
So that's okay. That's the current. Yeah, you're gonna have to. So we have 2 weeks on that. Next week we're doing the Zelda. Okay.
Right.
I only attempted it once. I want to give it I'm probably going to try I only three times more. Well. I'm probably going to go like maybe three more times.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I've got what they consider to be the fastest vehicle. I already looked that up. I've made some modifications to my run. I have some, things I want to try. But with that Zelda run, we're not going to do that a ton of times. So we're going to play that next week. And then the week Tom's back for Unranked Season 8 episode. We're highest hand wins. We'll let Tom know. Maybe he's got his Steam Deck there. Maybe he wants to hop into Balatro.
Maybe.
He's not going to do it. That's not going to happen.
So what else do we do? So we played some Walkabout Mini Golf, as we do.
Oh.
And we played another Evil Lair, this time an Ice Evil Lair.
New level.
Got to tell you, people, it is incredible. It is amazing. It is
new course out today.
New course that uses ice physics, so your ball can turn into an ice cube and it can slide on ice on the course, and if your ball stays as an ice cube on the green, it will bounce and have friction.
It's like you're chipping, right? It's like you're chipping the ball.
It is a little bit like you're chipping the ball. And then the course, if your ball is an ice cube, has heating elements which will melt the ice around your balls.
So they have heating elements on the course.
I just like that it's not just a vanilla golf course. Around the world, pretty much you could say was a vanilla course. It didn't employ didn't employ a lot of gimmicks. It might have had like jumps and like pipes that the ball
geometrically interesting, but it didn't have weird things on the course.
Right. No weird things like Meow Wolf or the Evil Lair, Laser Lair. So this was a cool course, man. Cool course. I like it.
If they could rotate every time, or like every couple times, give me a gimmick every like other or every three, I think that would be perfect.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
$3.99. And you basically get two new courses because it's one course, but you get the daytime and the nighttime. And it's the 25th course, which means now there's 50 courses to play in the game, which means there are that's
a lot of course.
That's a lot of
balls.
That's a lot of balls.
25 no not 25
that's a lot of balls.
A lot of balls.
And 450 balls in the game. There's 450 cosmetic golf balls in this video game, and the only ones you have to pay for are like come with the DLC. You don't actually buy the balls. That's amazing.
Right. Yeah, it is. And you get not more than 25 clubs because it had the original
there's the original Junior, eight.
Plus all the other ones for all the other courses.
Well, Mist had three.
Oh, that's right. Mist had three.
And Laser Lair had two.
Shit. Yeah,
there's a lot of clubs. There's like over 30 clubs.
I really like the club for this one was really cool too. So
We didn't play hard mode. We played the normal daytime course. Got the balls, which one of them we spent like 20 minutes on.
At least, felt like idiots.
Yeah, that was bad. We could have just looked it up online, but
we've never looked up a ball before.
We found 449 without looking them up.
We had, so we are not, we're not starting now. I'll tell you that right now. We are not starting now. Yeah. So yeah, no, Walkabout Mini Golf still going strong, man. Still going strong. I love going in there. I love going into
it's great.
I mean, it really does. I was telling my mom this. I told you that it really does feel like I'm like there as close as I can be to actually being there. So it's really cool. A lot of fun.
Because it's just the communication is even better than on Zoom because you're you're able to actually like here I'm looking at you through the screen. You can still like it's you still kind of tune out a little bit in a different way because you're not you don't really feel like you're in the same room as like when you are in the space. You know, when we're in Walkabout Mini Golf, you're talking. I'm like not only listening to you, but I'm like, wait, where is he? Because I want to look at him while he's speaking because I know he's probably facing me. And it feels rude to not, you know, whereas you don't get that on the Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
It's
great.
It's great stuff. Good stuff. So there was another game, Alex. We were requested to check out and play a game called RoboQuest. Now, this is going to be, I think, a game for us to look at in the month of March at some point. I loaded it up. It's on Game Pass. Slater recommended this to us, and he felt very strong. You know, he threw out words like Slay of the Spire and Vampire Survivors.
Big names, and, big names.
And I got to tell you, Alex,
yeah,
I only spent a few minutes in that game, and I can tell you, we are going to have a blast playing this fucking game. Robo we are going to have a blast playing this fucking game because it is co-op.
Ooh. You know, I love
and I see why he... I see why he said Borderlands because it has that kind of Borderlands look and it is a first person shooter. And it is a roguelike, a roguelite because it, so it is run based, right? Which I think I know sometimes, you know, you and I have both been like, oh, why does every game have to be like this? But I think sometimes that's good because it also can limit how long we're going to play a video game. You know, you're either going to get into it and you're going to go as far as you want, but then you're going to get over it. Or you're going to be like, well, I've gotten it, but now the RNG wall is hit and I'm just done with it. And I don't know about you, but I feel like we are off to an incredible year of video games already this year.
Yeah, agreed. Great year. Great year.
I mean, we've played a good handful of games already this year, but like three off the top of my head are already like incredibly memorable video games with Prince of Persia.
Yep.
Helldivers.
Yep.
And now Balatro. Like, we're basically so far getting one a month already. Like, if I could get one incredible video game a month, that is asking for way more than I think you should even be expecting.
And Walkabout Mini Golf still in the background going strong.
Well, yes, no, of course, Walkabout Mini Golf is still there.
So, played anything else? Have you played
We played some Helldivers.
Oh, that's right. Helldivers. Yes. Yes.
Yes, we did. And I did play a little bit without you today.
Oh, okay. How was that?
Well, they have a new update, Alex.
Okay, Christian.
And let me tell you, Meteorite Shower is fucking cool. Meteorite Shower. They have new weather effects like Meteorite Shower. There's like tornadoes and storms and stuff. Dude, Meteorite Shower, it's you're just like running into shit. Just starts just like rocks exploding on the ground around you. Fucking cool.
I like it. I like it. That is cool.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
Railgun was a little nerfed. People are mad about it online. However.
Nerfed. I didn't get a chance to really use it. I just got to level 20.
Still very useful. Still very useful. I mean, here's the thing that it was so good for was the chargers. When you're playing against the Terminids, the chargers, the railgun was very good at just like peeling the armor off. If you pop the armor off of their legs, you could just use, switch your regular gun, take them down solo without that option, that you know, they're like really tough to deal with.
Right.
The railgun has a secondary function called overcharge. Like you turn the safety mode off where you can accidentally overcharge and it could explode and kill you. So you have to pay attention to what you're doing. But if you play with the safety off, you can still peel the armor off of these guys with it. So basically they just wanted to make it so that it wasn't too easy with the railgun because it was actually like, which is, I mean, part of the reason why everyone was like, oh, you have to use like this gun because it's just, it's, if it's that much better than every other weapon, then it kind of forces like everyone just plays the same way. And that's a little boring. But if it is that much better, like you don't really want to use the lesser guns. So I like this. I'm excited to play with the safety mode off. and yeah. do that. I blew myself up once with it.
Nice.
So I do think though that's supposed to be part of the game, right? You are supposed to have to get reinforced more often in this game. Like that's the whole like framework of it, right? It's like we're just fucking like just cycled the bodies in. Like it's supposed to be a really tough thing to like get out. And the fact that we were doing it, and I was even doing it on like hell dive missions, I think maybe it was actually balanced a little bit too kindly in the favor of the hell divers, which is why they like kind of made things a little bit more difficult. That mission I talked about 2 weeks ago, where it was becoming like everyone was just playing this one mission, the exterminate missions, and like farming medals, and it was kind of making it a little not fun to matchmake. They have fixed that problem.
Oh,
you basically have to get twice as many kills now, so it takes twice as long. So it's like, okay, maybe don't do it on hell dive, maybe do it on one or two stops down. But also the enemies spawn faster and sometimes like bigger. So like if you're playing the Terminids, you're going to get a bunch of Goliaths now. If you're playing against the Automatons, they're going to drop more tanks higher up so that like it's not going to be, you know,
each
two or three people can just drop sentries and unload and that's game.
Yeah, that's game. Which is fair enough. Said,
yeah, exactly. The game is more fun when the best part of the game is when we're playing. And we're just like running around like, fuck, get over it. Like, fuck, oh, I'm just running. I don't know. The ship's coming. I don't know. I got to stay alive. And like, there's just one guy alive. And we're just like, how is he doing this? There's no way it's going to happen. And he dives in.
Yeah.
Because we played that the other day.
That
happened.
That happened. We had no more reinforces. I was running around. And I think I reinforced. And then I died. But then he was able to and then he like dove into the back of the ship, and that was it.
I thought we were cooked.
Oh yeah, 100%.
I did not think we were getting out of there. I was like, we're donezo.
Stratagems were also disabled.
Oh right, because the ship had left. We ran out of time, so the ship had left. We had no That's right.
Right. No, we couldn't call in strats. We couldn't call strats, but reinforcement.
Or maybe that was a different one. Because we played two missions.
Yeah, that's true. But I definitely wasn't throwing. Maybe I was. I can't remember now.
Yeah.
But it was good times. Good times. Good times were had by all.
Great. Still, look, we're still playing it. It's not December yet, but we're still playing it.
It's not December. I told you, I got it on the calendar. But,
we got the Illuminate coming. Yeah. The Illuminate's coming, and we got the mechs coming. So we know there's new shit.
There's still time.
And
so,
interestingly enough, I was on the Helldiver subreddit. People saw some posts on another, like on a forum, when there was like a beta going on, and someone was talking about like, oh, my current favorite loadout is this, and they were talking about stuff that does not exist in this game yet, which is coming. So it sounds like they've actually built a lot of stuff before they launch the game, so they can kind of just start wheeling it out without having to like, you know, spend 6 months building all of that, which I think if you're going to do these kinds of games, that is how it should be done. You should try not to release it till you're ready, at least have more content ready to go for the people who are going to need it. But it seems like there are going to be mods for your weapons. So like weapon attachments, and they had like different types of ammo. Cause someone was talking about using like the SMG, but with what they called like the supersonic ammo. And I'm like, whoa. What is the supersonic ammo?
Oh, wow. All right. I like it.
Yeah, I'm excited about it.
I'm excited. Yeah.
Yeah. And vehicles. I mean,
vehicles will be cool. For sure.
Yeah, that's going to make it feel like Halo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Speaking of Halo, have you watched any of Halo Season 2?
I've watched a bit. I'm not caught up. It's the one show that I'm not caught up on. Have you watched any of The Devil's Plan that I told you to watch?
Not yet. No, not
you
yet.
You should. It is. Okay, I'm going to recommend this show to people. It is a Korean show. I actually recommend you watch it in Korean with English subtitles. You just get it, like the passion and the enthusiasm in the voice of the actual person saying the actual thing just comes across better than the dub. But essentially, it is a sort of, it's a game show where your contestants are locked in a arena and they do logic games, logic puzzles, and they either can work together, work alone, work with a certain group, other group, sabotage. It's if you've ever heard of the Genius Game back, 10 years ago, it's kind of like that. But it is, I would say it's very good. And it's something that I don't think the US or any English speaking country would ever put out, because some of the explanations of the rules of these games are so long, I don't think any US game show would allow this to happen. So, like, it's insane. Like, the first game is Mafia, basically. And it's like, okay, you have two terrorists, and they're going to infect people, and you have five civilians, you have one journalist, you have one lunatic, you have one officer who gets a bullet every round, and the terrorists get a bullet, but they only get to use it once, and they have to talk. Like, there's no way that in English-speaking countries they're going to let that many
Yeah.
instructions go on TV.
No.
So, but let me tell you,
Well,
fantastic show.
you're not wrong about that. You're definitely right about that. And I'm gonna watch it, probably because Therese usually has to travel, not quite once a month, but I know she's gonna have to travel in a few weeks. So like I usually save stuff like that there's no way she's gonna want to watch it till then or till like late at night when she falls asleep. So that will be something I will watch soon. But I've been chipping away at my old movies, which I'm gonna tell you.
Oh, that's right, the old movie book.
I'm gonna tell you, I
Uh-oh,
am
uh-oh.
considering
Abandoning?
changing my plan
Oh no.
and not
Why,
going
what's going on?
100% chronologically because it's starting to feel a little bit like work. And
Oh,
just recently, I
okay.
decided to watch some older, more re
Sure.
like modern movies. So I watched Apollo 13 and Twister, and both of those movies are in this book.
They
And I
are in
was
the book.
like, yeah, and here's the thing. I was like, maybe I should every few movies or so just like crack open something from like the 80s forward and watch a
Sure.
more recent one, just
Sure.
because watching too many old ones in a row, I recently felt a little bit like it was a little bit like work.
Yeah. No, I totally get it. I'm shocked. I'm not surprised Apollo 13 is in this book. I'm a little surprised Twister is.
You know what's really good about this book is it's not all about not everything has to be a prestige film. Sometimes like they do have like a lot of
Yeah.
just there are like a good handful of like blockbusters. Like this is a movie that, was
Yeah,
very big for
okay.
like and
Sure.
man, what a
It's
movie.
Jaws with the tornado.
Yes.
Oh,
Yes.
and it's great. I
Man.
love Twister.
And we just watched Jaws with Godzilla, and guess what? Jaws with Godzilla was amazing.
Yeah. I love Twister. Twister's a great
Oh.
movie. I absolutely love it. I
I mean,
love
we
it.
talked about it earlier, but man, Helen Hunt, what a babe in that movie.
What a babe.
Oh man.
But I love when they drive. There's a part where a house just gets thrown on the road, and the
Yes.
truck they're driving drives into the house,
Through
up the stairs, and out through the
the
window. It's
Ah,
like,
it's so
are you
good.
fucking kidding me? That's
It's
great.
so good.
And the fucking guy from Princess Bride is in it, and he's such a dick. And it's like he's such a quick, easy villain. That's just like, you're an asshole, and that's all we need to know. We're good.
And there's
Or
so
no,
many
I love.
people. Fucking Daniel Faraday from Lost was in this. Like
Yeah,
there's so many people in this
Philip
movie.
Seymour Hoffman's in it.
Yeah, oh.
Philip Seymour Hoffman's in it. Cam from Ferris Bueller, he's in
Yes,
it.
yes.
Yeah, Paxton, obviously.
Yeah,
So,
RIP.
RIP. So, yeah.
So speaking of Twister, and brought this up to you earlier, but I didn't talk about it. And I'm gonna talk very little. So if you're worried about spoilers, don't worry. I'm not gonna spoil anything about Dune 2, but I do just want to talk about the movie briefly. I'm not gonna talk about any, I'm not gonna mention a single plot point of this movie. I'm just gonna talk about how amazing it was without saying a single plot point.
Okay.
So don't start the beeps up. The radar, don't worry about the radar. Spoiler radar can stay away. But right before Dune 2, two incredible things I saw coming up, in the trailer section for the movie.
Okay.
Twisters. Very
With
excited for Twisters.
an S with a dollar, the fucking
F
dollar sign.
the S with the dollar sign.
Yeah.
Oh, which by the way, it's got Glenn Powell, from Top Gun Maverick. I like that guy.
Okay. Oh, I like that guy a lot,
I like that
actually.
guy.
I like that guy a
So,
lot. He's up and coming.
So that's cool. It looked good. I gotta tell you, it honestly looked good. The Twisters trailer.
No, look, I'm in for some Twisters. Sure.
Top Gun Maverick was an elite movie.
Does Helen Hunt make a fucking cameo appearance?
You know what?
I bet you she does. I bet you she does.
She's not listed in the cast though, but who?
But if she's gonna make a cameo, like, yeah. I'm sure Matt Damon. Oh, boop, 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 boop. I'm sure Matt Damon wasn't listed in some of the movies he appears in.
That's true. That's true.
I won't say which movies.
Kiernan Shipka's in this movie also.
Who?
She played the daughter on Mad Men.
Don Draper's kid.
Yeah. And she's she was also Buffy in Sabrina in the new Sabrina. Right. Yeah, which was also pretty good. Yeah, she's cool. I like her. She's a good actress. Right. I knew the trailer was coming. Mm. I love the original. So I was kind of like, I know I will see this even if it's bad. But actually I saw it and was like, actually, this looks really good. It's like pretty good. Mm. And then I saw another sequel that I didn't realize was coming. And it was the AMC sequel. It was the new AMC introduction.
With Nicole Kids.
Yes. Which apparently they made several of. So there's like different variants of. It was like weird at first though, because it's mostly the same.
Wait, do they know how much people don't like it? And they're just playing off that?
People both don't like it and love it.
Oh God.
I mean, listen, when it started, everyone started clapping. And then when it was different, people were like, whoa. And then when it ended, everyone was like, yeah, it started clapping again. So...
oh my God.
Now, that being said, we saw it in IMAX. I told you already. I'm telling all the listeners.
Yeah.
You got to go see this movie in IMAX. If you have one near you, look, if you don't have one near you.
If you don't have one near you, then you know what you're going to do.
Yeah. So that's fine. But if you can, and if you have, if you have options of IMAXs, you should look up what the different screen sizes are that you have as options, because there are different options. The biggest one is I'd have to like make a haul for, but I saw it at the one at Universal.
You make a haul for?
Like the biggest one in California is not nearby. I'd have to drive pretty far to go to that.
I'll make a haul?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I'd have to haul up to that.
So you said, forget it. Yeah.
By the way, when I was in the hospital last week, the nurse could not get, I'm just seeing it right now on the camera, the nurse can never find the vein in this arm. And so like usually they'll try and then they go to the other arm, no problem. But because I had the IV in this arm, this other nurse goes, nah, I'll find it. And she's just digging around. And
I had the exact same thing happen to me when I had my hernia surgery and they couldn't find it. And then when I woke up, it was a big freaking black and blue on my arm. Yep. I'm like, yeah, well, thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks for digging in.
She was trying for a while. I was like, Jesus. Can you just go to the other arm, please?
Exactly. Unbelievable.
So it was, I mean, man, it was an experience. It was.
Wow.
It's just, look, there are so few times that you see a film series and you know you're watching something that's going to be remembered in the same way that the original Star Wars was, that
you
the Lord of the,
that's where this
that
is?
The Lord of the Rings was. Yeah, this is our Lord of the Rings. This is our star, you know, like our Star Wars. This is these three movies, because there's going to be a third one. That's he said he doesn't want to, you know, he just wants to do the third one. Because after that, it's not about like these characters necessarily. There's other things in the dupe, but
I got to rewatch the first movie again before I go see this.
Highly recommend it. We rewatched it and then did a recap video after that, just because, especially for Therese, she was like, I know what happened, but there's so many fucking weird names of things. Right. So we watched a recap video as well after that.
But
I mean, if you liked the first Dune,
I did.
Then I think this is better. I think this is a better movie than the first Dune. And they did so much of it practically, which is unbelievable. There are going to be scenes that you're like, I mean, I don't even understand how they shot a lot of this practically, but they did. And then, you know, it's mixed with like visual effects that they'll composite in later, but like they film as many things as possible practically. The acting is just so well done, and there's so little dialogue in this movie. It's just like a visual feast.
Didn't he say that he would rather do a movie with no dialogue? Did I get that right?
Yeah, and I mean, look, it's a little bit of a course correction, and he talks about how, like, he thinks TV has affected movies too much, and I think that's a little bit true, because if you look at Marvel is basically, like, movies as TV, you know? Mm-hmm. It is, like, basically one big soap opera, and it's very dialogue-heavy. So I think that's a little silly when he's like, oh, people don't remember movies for lines. It's like, okay, well, let's calm down there.
Wait, I mean, what are you talking about? Don't make movies for lines.
You know, look,
everything people quote, leave the gun, take the
he's
cannoli,
an auteur.
Like,
look,
break.
He's incredible at what he does. It doesn't mean that he's not able to say things that are stupid.
We're gonna need a bigger boat. I mean, give me a break.
Well, by the way, like, Blade Runner is known for several lines, and he made the sequel to Blade Runner. Like, it's
sequel
not just
Blade
the visual.
Runner, though. Love that.
Incredible.
I loved the sequel to
Incredible.
Blade Runner. I thought the sequel was so good. I loved it.
Just an immense film.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Film. Yeah. Cinema.
I mean, this
as
is a film.
Cinema.
This is.
Yeah.
If there's been a movie that's for fans of cinema that's come out in the last few years, it's this and Top Gun Maverick and Godzilla Minus One. I think those are the three best movies I've seen since 2020. I think those are the three best movies I've seen.
I mean, Godzilla Minus One was, I mean, fucking incredible. I remember I turned to Tom, I looked at him, and I went, that was fucking amazing. That was like top movie. That was one of the best movies I've ever seen. Like, I was not expecting this movie to be as good as it was, and it really was really good.
And this is better. It's also very different, you know, so like,
yeah.
And they're both you know, such an elite status level movie, in my opinion, that like I would hate to compare them, actually, so I don't forget that comment at all.
Sure.
But the one thing I will say about this movie that I was a little bit surprised about, because I knew what some of the beats were. I had tried reading this book series before, and I then also would like end up reading summaries of things, because like, it's a really dense fucking book.
Okay.
It's way more action heavy than the first one, and it's very I mean, it's kind of brutal. And did you ever see Mad Max Fury Road?
No.
Oh, there's a film for you, Alex. There's a fucking movie for you.
There's fans of cinema.
Okay, that's added to the list.
Mm-hmm.
Bring it towards the top of your watch list.
Bring it towards the top.
Yeah, that's another visual feast. Also, a lot was done. That movie is fucking. I mean, I would call it high octane as a description, but it feels corny because it's literally like a big vehicle chase throughout the majority of the movie. So
right.
But this movie reminded me of the intensity of that at times, and then I decided to rewatch that yesterday because I was just still like so fucking pumped up from this. I'm gonna go see it again. I'm gonna have to go see this movie again. It was really, really good. But that's all I'm gonna say, because I don't want to spoil anything about it. And if you haven't seen it, you really should go see it in theaters, because, and if possible in IMAX, it's just, there is a lot to gain from the sound and the visuals that you will lose watching at home. When we rewatched Dune, it was great at home, but it was not like when I saw it in theaters.
Mm-hmm.
It is not something you want to miss out on if you liked the first one.
Okay.
So, that's
understood.
You know, that's what I gotta say.
That's what you gotta
say.
All right. What else we got?
Well, Alex.
No,
please.
No, I thought, I mean, are we doing news? What are we doing?
I mean, listen. We're still in the, where are you going? you just sunk into the abyss. Let's briefly talk about Survivor and Love is Blind.
Can I just say what I think? Okay, well, all right. Love is Blind too. Holy shit.
We'll keep them both kind of brief, so we could do some news and some mail.
Survivor, we keep brief since it's only been two episodes. But, okay. First of all,
let's not even say who got kicked out. So that way, if you haven't heard, we just won't say who got kicked out.
We're not going to say who, but I am going to speak about it generally.
Okay.
So, one thing I will say is that I actually do like, I think I'm coming around to the 2-hour episodes. slash hour and a half episode, because
I think hour and a half, 2 hours is maybe a little bit much, but
a little long, but it does allow them to do more. It allows them to show me more. It allows them to show me more of the conversations. It allows me to show, allows them to show me more of like the fun times that they have at camp and how they actually are bonding with each other instead of like,
it feels more like old Survivor.
You get a better sense. Okay. That being said, I feel like the past 3 seasons, I think in a row now, have had the first two people who have been eliminated have been some of the weakest, like, head scratchers. Okay. Like, and where I think that, like, to me, I'm thinking to myself, like, what did you think you were doing? Like, what did, like, you knew you were signing up for this, right? Like, what has, I feel like the last 3 seasons have been a 1-2 punch of either I don't want to be here, I'm not mentally prepared for this, or like, I don't understand, like, I have no concept of the way you're supposed to play this game, and I'm getting voted out because I'm a moron. Like, I, you know what I mean? Like, like the last 3 seasons.
I almost entirely agree with you.
I feel like after this Wednesday's episode and vote out, I feel like we're off to the races now. Now we're playing the real game. Now we've got people that are like, let's go. But there's two people that they voted out. I'm like, what is wrong with you people?
Okay. I'll say this, though.
Yeah.
I think overall, especially now just talking about the 16 remaining people, these 16 people feel like the strongest people that we've had in a single Survivor season since the new format.
Sure.
Since basically season 41. Sure. Like, these feel like older Survivor people. Like, it feels like everyone else that's here in this game is like ready to play this game. That being said, the two people that were eliminated, I think, are stronger than the first 6 people that were eliminated in either of the 2 previous seasons. I understand they're still weaker than the other people that are in this season, but they aren't weak in the same way that the other people were. Like, the first person that gets eliminated this season, did not think they were weak, and they were prepared to play, but they were just bad. They're just really bad at it. They didn't realize they were bad at it. They thought they were good. And the other person that gets eliminated, I think if given a little bit more time, would have been actually a lot better at some of the like strategic stuff. But I think like they were too slow. They were too slow to get started. And then they had to try and catch up. And it just got sloppy. It got real real fast. Yep. And they had no ability to play the physical game. They had no ability to play the physical game.
No. So I'm interested to see where the season goes.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's see. Let's see. Let's get to playing.
Who are your top three? Who are your top three?
Top three? I'm really bad with names. But I'm really good with faces. I'm really good with faces. So
I sent you got that image in our text chat I sent you.
Hold on.
I'll send you this. I'll send it to you right now.
I'll Google it right now. Google Survivor Cast. What the hell? Why did I do that? Survivor Cast.
There you go.
All right, hold on. Jeez. Okay, here's my top. You know, as much as I want Charlie Davis to like be good, I don't think
why do people like this guy?
No, I don't like him. Well, because he likes Taylor Swift. No, but my top is probably
he comes off Tevin. As like no.
My top is probably Tevin Davis.
Yep.
I really like Ben Katzman.
Okay.
I just like him. I just like him.
All right.
And
the guy
Kenzie.
That likes metal.
Yeah. And Kenzie.
Really? Kenzie.
I think Kenzie's gonna get in trouble, but I think she could go far.
Interesting. I do have her listed as I think she's a dark horse.
I don't like the people. I don't like the woman who was like, I don't need the money. Like,
she's Liz is done. So Liz is done, so for sure. Liz is. So I agree 100% on Tevin. But then my next two are Hunter. I think Hunter is great. The science teacher. Hunter. I think he's awesome.
Yeah. Okay.
I think he's great, and he's buddies with Tevin, so I think that's going to benefit him in a big way. I think they're like a power duo, and I think on Green Team Maria, I think the mom, I think she's going to be the tribal mom, and she's going to go far. But obviously, being the tribal mom puts a big target on you, so it's like she's going to be a lot of. I think she might be good until around 7 or 8 people left, and then she's going to have a strong plan to survive because as they get down
Banu is something else, man. He is if something else. He is something else.
Yeah.
He is. He's just happy to be there.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Bonif. Ah, I'm excited. I'm really excited about this season. I think it's gonna be great. Love is Blind. Alex, this guy. Yeah, so I was talking to Trace about it. There's a guy on Love is Blind, if you haven't been watching the show, who basically...
Which guy are you talking about?
This guy, Clay. Jeremy.
Oh, Clay. God.
This guy, Clay, on Love is Blind, who basically, like, from day up. One... Oh, from day God. One, it's just like... He's like, yeah, but this whole marriage thing, like, I just don't want to cheat on you. Like, my dad, like, you know, my dad would take me with him. And he keeps talking about it as if he has the cheat gene. Like, so, like, I call it cheatositis. This is what Teresa and I, he's like, well, what you don't understand is I have cheatositis. Like, I love you, but I'm going to cheat on you.
He was unbelievable. I can't help it. Like, he would not shut up about it. And, like, he just wouldn't. He also, like, if you were not...
Because he has, Alex, because he has a clinical case of cheatositis.
I know, but it's all he talked about. He would not shut up about it. He also just wouldn't shut up in general. He was such an over-analytical, like, annoying person on camera. I don't know if he was doing that for the camera.
Yeah, my man needs therapy.
But he was just talking and talking and talking, and I'm always about the journey and you've helped me. And I'm like, helped you.
Oh, I hate the way people talk now on reality and just in general and on the internet. It's so fake and performative.
It's so annoying. So it was like, but anyone listening to him, right? But I guess when you got love, God,
Alex, it's his truth.
His truth, his whatever. You know what else I can't stand? My person. Please, can we kill that phrase? That phrase was, you're my person.
Alex,
done.
You were complaining about this in like 2016.
Well,
I think there's a podcast episode from 2016 where you were saying this exact thing.
Probably is. So, like, I'm sick of that. Also, like, anyone listening could have been like, this guy is not ready to get married, period. He wanted to be on the show. Then there's another guy that was like, that definitely cheated on his fiance with the one he was also, the other person he was talking to in the pods. And he was like, but I turned on my location. And it's like, yeah, but your Apple Watch was still on. It showed you over in this part of town, which is where your fucking girlfriend is. So fuck you. And then another
it's so
guy,
good that shitty people are awesome, are like often incompetent because it helps people that aren't shitty, at least, you know, it's like we want to be mad at him for being stupid, but I'm actually glad that he's stupid because
he
I would be
so
pissed.
Stupid.
I would be pissed if he had gotten away with that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's unbelievable. And then there's a girl who thought she looked like Megan Fox, which all right, maybe there's a little resemblance, but you wouldn't say that in the pods because the guy on the other side is going to think you actually look like Megan Fox, which means he's going to be disappointed when he sees you because no one looks like Megan Fox. So then, and also
well, Megan Fox doesn't even look like Megan Fox anymore.
Right. And then you have so many, insecurities on top of that, that goes along with this person with Chelsea. So she like is the classic, I'm going to start a fight. And then by the end of it, I'm going to try to turn it around so that you have to apologize to me. That is classic. That is, and I think he knew it. And I think Jimmy was just like sticking around being like, how long can I really do this? And then I think he probably was like, I can't. Like, I can't even go to the altar because like she'll be in a dress and she'll think that it's all good, like going to happen and that I'm going to break her heart there. I'd rather do it here.
Yeah.
Because he, like, the second that she really probably, I mean, she's a little nuts. Like, it was, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
So, yeah.
It was a good finale. It was a good finale. The reunion is always kind of like, eh. Like, I'll watch it.
Well, here's my problem. My problem with the reunion. What's her name? Vanessa Lachey injects herself a little too much into the reunion. I don't like her. I don't think she's good. I think she's annoying. So, that's my... Yeah.
My God. All right. Well, Alex, I think we've caught up. I think
we're caught up, baby.
Yeah,
we're caught up, baby.
Let's do just a little bit of news. Let me. I just gotta load up the jingle here. The little jingle jangle. Boom. Oh.
But
I have bad news.
No way.
Oh my, this is, we've never done breaking news.
Okay, but it's only breaking for me and you.
That's true. You know what? I'm not going to deliver this news on the podcast. What? All right. Information, dear friends and partners. This was 14 minutes ago. We are deeply saddened to inform you that manga creator Akira Toriyama passed away March 1st due to acute subdermal hematoma. He was age 68, the creator of Dragon Ball.
Oh.
I mean, obviously, he was still making, like, you know, Super and other new things. Like, he was, oh, man.
No.
Oh. This is, funeral service was held with his family.
Wait, he passed away a week ago?
And they just didn't tell anyone, I guess. Man, that is, I went to pull open news.
Yeah.
And this was the top thing that was there for me to find. That is a huge, let's just, you know, moment of silence for Akira Toriyama. That's a huge bummer. That sucks.
Are you going to do the silence? Or are you just going to talk through it? Okay.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, well, listen, after I used to like get amped for when Dragon Ball Z was going to come out of
man.
School. Well, I used
Hell
to get
yeah.
fucking amped.
I mean, you and I would walk from middle school back to your house, sometimes ride bikes, and we would talk about what we thought was going to happen on Gundam Wing and Dragon Ball Z. You know?
Yeah.
And then one time, I'll never forget this. I'll never forget the one time your mom's boyfriend pulled up in a car and sees us, and it was raining, and asked us if we wanted a ride. And I'd never seen or met or heard of this man before. And all I was thinking was, this is it. This is the moment they've been telling me about my whole life, where a man shows up at the car and asks me to get in. And I was just like, and I'm looking at you, and he's like, Alex, get in. And I'm like, who is this man? Like, I've met Alex's father before. That's not him.
That's not
I don't
him.
Know who this is. And I was like, we're not getting in that car. Like, I just, Alex, that whole time, I don't know if I've ever mentioned this to you. That whole time, I still have this memory of just like, in that moment, that it was happening.
We're
the
dying.
Predator had come.
The Predator has caught you. Predator has caught you. And all those seminars and videos and all that stuff didn't work. You still got in the car.
Yeah.
You still got in the car.
Yeah. I got in the car. Oh man, this sucks. That sucks, Kira.
That
damn.
Does suck.
Damn.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a shame. All right. Well, in more depressing news, Rooster Teeth is being shut down. I haven't been consuming any of their content in a long time, but I will say, like, it was very cool when we got invited to go to the Rooster Teeth after party during that E3, which was the first E3 Unranked got to go through, like, through Unranked podcast. You know, it wasn't like through any like other connections or anything. Like, so that was pretty cool to get to meet. That was like when Bernie was still there. Getting to meet Bernie was cool.
Yeah.
Getting to hang out with them. Also free drinks.
Yeah. Free drinks was great. Free ice cream.
Yeah. So that was cool. I will say, like, you know, they found out in a crappy way, but like at the same time, it seems like they actually got a much better deal than we did at G4, although we got great severance as well, and it sounds like they're getting good severance. They're not immediately shut down. They're going to be winding down over a few months, and they got told like at work with like a meeting, whereas like we found out the day before the next, like we found out on a Sunday through Wario64, and then we're told like don't come in, and we're going to schedule people to come in one at a time to pick up their stuff. So like at least they have a chance to like wrap stuff up. It sounds like they're going to you know, close things off, and some of their podcasts
are people
going,
just not. Are people just not weren't watching? Like, what's the situation?
Yeah, so it sounds like they haven't actually been turning a profit in a while. And I like, really what it comes down to is like that old medium of the way like online media worked, just like that it's not profitable in the way that it was. Their podcasts, though, at least some of them are still, I think, very popular. The last thing of theirs that I listened to, Gus had his own podcast, which was really cool. It was called Black Box Down. That was the last thing I listened to. I stopped listening to the Rooster Teeth podcast like around the time, like a little bit before Bernie left. But when I heard he left, I was like, oh, well, I'm never going to even check in anymore. I was like, because now it's like that, you know, it's, but, yeah, that's wild. It, you know, that was a big, part of, like when we were younger watching Red versus Blue.
I watched a ton of Achievement Hunter stuff back like 09, 2010 area.
Back in the day. Yeah.
So,
which what's interesting is they had actually announced last year that they were going to do a final season of Red versus Blue. And it was continuing from like some earlier point in the series and everything else was being made like non-canon or something.
Oh,
and
geez.
Like Bernie was coming back and is doing it and stuff. And apparently they finished it and they're still going to release that somehow.
Huh?
I wonder if Microsoft will buy it because it's listed as like that they're looking for buyers. And I feel like I feel like Microsoft should just buy Red versus Blue. Like, it feels like that should just be owned by 343 or Microsoft.
Sure.
Right. Yeah. Especially considering like in, I think like Halo 4, they actually like had some of those guys like voice like characters, like NPCs and shit. So yeah. So, okay. Bummer news. Bummer news is gone. Stop with the bummers. But yeah, sucks more people losing their jobs.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see what else is happening. Microsoft showed off some more like upcoming stuff for Game Pass. Alex, if you people like you who have not played one of last generation's greatest titles, you will now be able to on Game Pass. They're gonna have Control Ultimate Edition, so it's going to be like the 4K Xbox Series version with all the DLC. You have Alan Wake. Alan Wake and Control are in the same universe. There are things to be gained by playing Control before Alan Wake. So you now actually have additional homework before you start Alan Wake of playing Control.
Okay.
So now, before you do finally start playing Alan Wake, you actually should play through Control. Is basically what I'm telling you.
I got it. All right.
And I was thinking about Alan Wake and how I should reinvigorate the thought of you starting that game. And I realized something the other day. Because neither of us are spooky gamers, right?
Right. No.
You know what game Alan Wake maybe reminds me of the most that I really like, other than Resident Evil 4, which is a game you didn't play but you would have liked? Take a guess.
Eternal Darkness?
It's Eternal Darkness, man.
Oh, boy.
There are things and mechanics in the game where you don't necessarily know, like, what's happening, like, in Eternal Darkness. And there's a lot of, like, questioning of the player's sanity, but it's through your also POV. So you're dealing with... There are things that are very Eternal Darkness, like, in that game. And you will... I mean, you will love it. You will absolutely... You're going to be talking about this game the same way you were talking about God of War. And I feel very confident saying
Statement. Statement. Huge.
So I'll give you one caveat with that. The gameplay isn't as good as the fighting is in God of War. But the mechanics and the story and everything else, you're going to be just as like into, I think.
Okay.
But the gameplay, that being said, you should do Control first. Because which Control? The gameplay is... phenomenal.
All right. Okay.
Gameplay Control is a very different game. It's a third person shooter. And you get like psychic powers, but it does have all this like trippy, has very like Lost Dharma vibes stuff going on in that game. And they're in a shared universe, so there are things that are there's literally a character in that game that will be in Alan Wake. So
All right.
Yeah,
I'll take it under advisement.
Oh, okay. It's going to go under advisement, I say. Let's see. What else?
What else?
Oh, what about Balatra?
No, I was going to say, we got, you know, as soon as I get a little bit more into that, then I'll stop playing that. We'll get into Control, Alt, Delete, / All Week.
Yeah, it's tough, you know. We're playing Helldivers and we're playing Walkabout Mini Golf. So it's like, I can't ask you to do too many things because you just don't, You don't have the time. I don't have a kid. I have the time for that stuff.
Don't have the time.
You don't have the time. So that's why I have to figure. That's why I'm like, all right, on your watching time, Mad Max got to go to the top of that list.
Yeah.
But now Control's got to go ahead of.
You got to finish Devil's Plan. All right.
But. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Helldivers 2, I already mentioned it got that update. It got a bunch of balance changes and stuff like that. Fallout, the trailer came out. That show is getting ready to release soon on Amazon Prime. So that's pretty cool.
Okay. Yeah.
Princess Peach Showtime demo is out.
Okay.
Not gonna be a game for us. No. Mario versus Donkey Kong can be a game for us. Princess Peach Showtime, unfortunately, is not. It's like a two-button game. I was hoping it was going to be like so on the DS, they had a really awesome game called what the hell was that game? Super Princess Peach. I was like, that's why. Super Princess Peach. That was cool, and it had like the mechanics that she has in Smash Melee are kind of like similar. So like it was like an actual platformer and she had cool attacks and stuff, but that is not, this is a very different, I mean, this one is actually like made for children, which is fine, but it's unfortunate that there isn't like just a really good strong title that anyone could play, I think, with her. Beyond that, I don't think there's anything like major if we need to discuss. I'm sure.
Okay.
Like right now we're sort of in the early doldrums. There's going to be more coming. We talked about the Pokemon game, right? Yeah, that was like 2 weeks ago. Because last week was weird. I can't like remember what's actually happened, like when, you know.
Sure. So. Yep.
All right. Want to do a little mail?
Sure.
You don't have any complaints this week, do you?
No.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Wow. What a lovely little life you have. Nothing to complain about.
Nothing to complain about.
nothing to complain about. When I was looking for a clip for the previously on, of course I like the first thing I saw was like you talking about your wife. You just start going, another thing my wife
does.
It's really something. Sure. Email at unrankedpodcast.com or call in to 805-738-8692. 805-738-8692. All right. We didn't get to this one for a few weeks by accident. Narcus wrote in and said, what TV universe would you like to live in?
I got Little Bear.
Oh, shit. You want to hang out with talking animals? That's pretty good.
Yeah. Also, it just seemed like Little Bear just had like this comforting peace to it.
Yeah.
That I think would be very nice to just live in.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with Little Bear. So first answer that popped into my head. It's the first thing that I thought of. That was what my brain produced. And that's what I'm going to say.
Okay. This is weird, Alex. But we're firing on the same wavelengths right now because I went with something very different, but also for the exact same reason.
Okay.
I was going with Full House because I was like, I want to live in the 1990s. I want to live in the 1990s.
Right.
I want it to be like calmer. I want it to feel like we're not, you know, inching towards the end of civilization.
I want to be sick on my couch watching Face on Nick Jr.
Yeah.
You know. So yeah, that's what I would like. Okay.
Yeah. Right. I want to order a pizza by calling the pizza place and having delivery boy come and being able to give them enough money that like that's fine. Like they can
we ordered Chinese food tonight on Uber Eats. It was $50, but then there were $20 in additional fees and other bullshit. So it was like, remember the day when you used to call the place for delivery and they would
I started picking stuff up recently.
That's what we're gonna have to start doing because I'm enough of this.
And you know what? It's just getting me to not order stuff as much, which is good. So
but we only order once a week, but it's still very annoying that this happens.
Yeah.
So yeah.
That being said, also, if I could just throw something else in there, I'm gonna just say Lost. Just
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to live in the world of One Piece. That is a hellish nightmare world.
Yeah.
would not want to live in it. Great story. Hellish nightmare world. Honestly, living in the Attack on Titan world, I don't know if that's better or worse than living in the One Piece world. One Piece world's honest. Listen, man, the One Piece world is, I think, maybe worse than the Attack on Titan world, depending on where you're at.
Oh, boy.
It's pretty bad.
Oh, boy.
It's the weirdest, most cartoony story ever made, and yet it's also, I think, maybe the darkest, most disturbing thing that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It works. Okay. Spiffy said, ignore this one if you've already discussed it, but blah, blah, blah. Oh, what are your realistic expectations for the Switch 2 game release lineup, and what are some of your dream picks that won't happen but would be cool if they did? Okay, so now that's coming next year.
Smash. Totally new Smash.
Man, at launch? A Smash at launch?
A Smash at launch with all new moves for the characters. All new moves. Not one repeat move. Would be cool.
Smash at launch is a wild dream pick.
I don't know how you would do that for Donkey Kong necessarily.
Oh,
he's the
I
first
do.
First one that popped into my head. What about Yoshi?
Well, okay, Donkey Kong, let him throw a barrel first of all.
Okay, I like
right?
it. Okay,
that's one.
Yeah,
give him
yeah.
a, give him his yep. coconut gun.
Okay,
that's another.
Okay.
Like we let's
okay.
turn him into a ranged fighter. Let's
okay.
turn him into a ranged fighter.
Sure,
let's give him
sure,
a completely
sure.
different moveset.
Okay, all right, yeah,
right.
Okay. And you know what? Everyone doesn't need to be here. Is the next
no,
thing that I would
no.
say.
Especially, you know what? Make a Fire Emblem fighting game that's separate to this.
Right.
And just put like two Fire Emblem characters in this
sure.
game. And not fucking, I think there's like nine. I think there might actually be like nine Fire Emblem characters in that game.
Yeah.
Because you got Marth, Roy, Ike.
Yeah.
Robin.
Yep. Right.
All right, maybe there's like seven, but there's a lot. There's a lot.
Chris.
There's
oh,
a lot
sure.
of Fire Emblem characters in that game. So, yeah, I mean, that's definitely not a realistic expectation because I don't think you're going to get a game like that at launch.
Yeah.
But we might be seeing that 2026.
Okay. Sure.
Winter, like a year and a half later.
Yeah.
Okay, here's what I expect. I expect the next 3D Mario. I expect the follow-up to Super Mario Odyssey at launch.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. I would also like a new Zelda game.
So I expect in the first year to have another Zelda game. It won't be a Breath of the Wild, but we should be getting a... So just remember, we got the Link's Awakening remake, like the Chibi stuff.
Yeah.
I expect something like that.
Yeah, okay.
My hope...
Yeah.
...is for them to do a Phantom Hourglass remake... Or Spirit Tracks remake that doesn't
Without
have the touch controls.
Stylus.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
That alone, I think, would make it. I think people would be all about that.
Yep.
I think that would be a
like
big
it.
Hit.
And
they've done that kind of stuff when they've revamped some of these titles. They've made some major changes to them. So that would be really cool. Man, Metroid Prime 4, I guess, if that's not coming out on the Switch 1 this year, Metroid Prime 4 at launch.
Yep.
I think would be great.
Yeah. Or like, I'm
there's
got to
be something
games,
weird,
but...
right?
Yeah.
Because the
Beautiful
first one we
Joe.
Had arms. The Beautiful Joe. That's not a Nintendo
Beautiful
title,
Joe.
Though.
Eh. It's fine.
Beautiful Joe. I don't want the new Mario Kart yet, but I do want them to do something. I want Nintendo Kart. You know?
Ooh,
well,
sure.
Okay, here's my dream game. Here it is. Is
I'll think
Pokemon
another Mario
Racers.
Plus Rabbids. Pokemon Racers.
Yeah. Take the old design for Diddy Kong Racing, where you had hover cars, and planes.
Mm-hmm.
Replace them with Pokemon. Flying Pokemon, water Pokemon, land Pokemon.
Sure.
You ride Pokemon, and the power-ups you get...
Okay.
Are attacks that your Pokemon
sure.
does.
Yeah, this isn't bad. It's good.
Be pretty
like
sweet.
It.
Be
yeah.
pretty sweet.
No, I like it. I like it.
Flying around on a Charizard.
Yeah, that's good.
And then they could have like some goofy ones where you're flying around like on a Blueazel, you know, like ones that don't look like they should fly, but they can.
Sure. Yeah, no, it's fine. Yeah. All right, you got me. I like it.
All right.
It's good. There it is.
There it is. All right. Well, I don't have a game for us. I thought about building one, but
No, we're already at an hour and
well, that's why I said I
a
don't have
lot.
one. So we're gonna
Oh.
head out. So just as a reminder, we have Alex, would you like to tell them what the challenge is for Zelda?
Oh. Can you just in, can you, I'm wearing the same outfit I think I was for that episode. So can you just put it back in there because I can't remember off the top of my head. All right, so for next week's challenge, we're going to boot up Tears of the Kingdom and we're going to do a race. So we are going to race from the Rubella Wetlands Skyview Tower and we're going to race to Lookout Landing, specifically the bottom of the well, and pray at the statue. So the rules are you have to warp. You have to fast travel to Rubella Wetlands Skyview Tower. As soon as you land, time starts. You can do anything you want to get to Lookout Landing and pray at the statue at the bottom of the well the fastest. The only thing you cannot do is fast travel. Thanks, Tuna, for explaining the challenge because this future Tuna forgot what it was.
All right, well, we're gonna head out of here. Maybe we'll get a guest for
Oh.
next week. I didn't ask anyone this week, but Tom
Sure.
won't be bad. This, you know, so.
So, for other people as well, another challenge you can do is get Balatro and send us your highest one-hand scores.
Yeah. You know what? I was asked for it and I forgot to do it. I will go ahead and do that tomorrow when this episode comes out. There will be a channel in the Discord for head-to-head challenges. So you
Ooh.
can submit your scores and times and such there. But until next time, stay unranked.
Suck it.